Welcome to the Divorce View Talk Show with your co-hosts, Joni Winberg and Rosalind Sadaka, your divorce mentor team. If you're contemplating divorce, going through a divorce, or are ready to move forward after your divorce, then we've got you covered. We'll even help you get back into the dating game. This show will lift your spirits, answer your questions, and guide you through the challenges you're facing. And our guest divorce experts will provide insights, tips, and tools to support you and the children you love during and after divorce. And now, here's your divorce mentor team, Joni and Rosalind.
Welcome to the Divorce View Talk Show. Hello, it's Joni Winberg, Certified Human Behavior Consultant, Divorce Mentor, and Facilitator of How to Emotionally and Financially Survive Divorce. Today, I have a special guest on my show. Her name is Betsy Barbeau. And she is actually a certified advanced behavior specialist and also a certified image consultant. And she's going to talk about colorize, accessorize, energize after divorce and before your first date. So welcome, Betsy.
Thank you, Joni.
Thank you. Not where Cheryl Barber came from, but it's Betsy.
How many years have we known each other?
I know. It's like, where did that come from? But anyways, the reason for this show, and I was really excited about it, is because after divorce, maybe a woman hasn't paid much attention to herself. She's been on the back burner for many years as a mom, a wife, her own business, and just a taxi cab driver, and been taking care of everybody but herself. And so she's probably thinking, wow, I could use some help here, or maybe feel good about myself again. Or maybe a woman's getting back into dating after divorce and would like to know, gee, what is the hottest trends, or what are people doing? And I'd like to look younger and thinner and all of the above. So we're really here to help the mom feel good about herself or the wife after divorce, but also even become that role model for children. Because I know when we feel good about ourselves, it certainly reflects onto our children. And that's the big picture there. So Betsy, as a certified image consultant, tell us a little bit about what you do and why do women come to you for your help?
Well, for a lot of the reasons that you just said, they've been spending a lot of time with themselves and haven't, or with other children instead of themselves, and have just come to the place where they just need to do something for them. Usually it happens either after a divorce or when the last child leaves home. Mm. Or some women come to me, especially where I live here in Central Florida, some women come to me because they have Central Florida, but they're too young to look like a retiree because they're really not that old. And all they have in their closet are suits, and they need to know how to dress down, but don't know how to look like they're not playing golf or tennis every day. Mm. So there are a lot of reasons they come to me. And it's interesting because things like the latest trends, hottest trends, I actually don't know anything about. I'm an image consultant, not a fashion consultant. Mm-hmm. So what I'm doing is looking at you, and I'm looking at the way you were created with your hair, skin, and eye color. And then we're going with that as far as the kind of colors and color combinations. So what I'm doing is matching the clothing and the makeup and the hair color to you, which takes a step of faith in liking yourself. Mm. And I know that a lot of women in the position of divorce and even just job downsizing, loss, other kinds of losses in life, widowhood, empty nest. There's so many things that women are taught not to like about themselves. They don't like their hair. They don't like their skin. They don't like their eyes. Their hips are too big or whatever. They need bust, less bust, whatever. And so part of the challenge for me is just simply getting you to actually look in the mirror at yourself. Mm-hmm. You can't really see here, but over on this side of the studio, I have a makeup table set up with a mirror, and it's facing the plate glass window out into the sunlight so that we can get a good look at your eyes and your skin color. And it's amazing how many women cannot look at themselves in the mirror. They don't see what I see. I see great combinations of hair, skin, and eye color. And they're looking in the mirror going, oh, I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like that. We're not going there today, because all dependent on you telling me what color your hair really is. I need to know what color it really is. Now, well, we can modify and color it if you wish, but I need to know what it is really.
On a side note, I actually, one of my clients, or lots of times with clients, because their self-esteem is or confidence is low after divorce, and I'll actually ask them to stand in front of the mirror and list 10 things that they love about themselves. And that's a difficult assignment.
That would be a difficult challenge.
Really, one woman said 10. Maybe I can stretch it to 5. So I hear what you're saying. And so that's another whole show to talk about the mindset. So let's talk about, but you know what? I was reading some of your notes.
You had some questions you wanted to ask me.
Well,
you were dying
about. But some of them was that, you know, you're talking about helping them communicate effectively inside and out, which I just think is awesome. But some of the things you talked about close as far as certain do's and don'ts. And I think that was so informative to me. And one of them was where you should never go when you go to buy clothes, as far as the racks and so forth. So just take it from there and run with it, because it's very informative.
The other piece of what I will do, and we put the pieces together and then we go shopping.
Okay.
But you can get the hair, skin, and eye color combination. If I can ascertain that, then I can help you create combos that go around that. But then I also am looking, like you say, I need you to stand up and we're going to look at your physicality. I don't care about weight. I don't care if you're up in weight or down in weight. And people will say to me, I can't come to you until I lose 10 or 20 pounds. It doesn't matter to me. What I'm looking at is the ratio between the top of the head and the armpit and the break of the leg and the knee, and from the knee to the floor. Then that will tell me where some things need to hang, like sleeve length, top length, jacket length, skirt length, short lengths, those kinds of things will tell me where they need to hang. Once we have those pieces in place, and I know also your neckline that's most flattering to your face that keeps these things here on the jowls.
We have those.
You know, some people have those jowls that they seem to pop up after 40 years old. And there are necklines that minimize that. And most women wear the wrong neckline. And most stores have the wrong neckline. So you're kind of stuck wearing the wrong neckline and looking like you've got big jowls. So once we put those pieces together, then my rule number one in shopping is never go to the sale rack first. Women are so proud of themselves. They will tell me they bought this and this and this and this and this and this on sale, and it was $150, but it was on sale for $5. And then eventually, my goal, especially for the local ladies, is to be able to go to your closet. And then you show me all these great buys, and they're hanging in the closet with the price tag still on them. And so I'm sitting there adding up the money because you've never worn them. They still have the price tags on them. And so I'm sitting here looking at $5,000 or $6,000 or $7,000, sometimes $1,000 worth of clothes hanging in the closet with the price tag still on them because it was a really good buy, but they don't know what to wear it with.
Mm.
It's not a good buy if you don't know what to wear.
We're all guilty. All guilty of that.
No, it's not a good buy. So my rule number one is never to go to the sale rack first. What I'd like to do is take you into the store, like a department store that has a variety of things, not a small little boutique, but I can teach you how to shop better if I take you into a big store where there's sensory overload.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of women actually do not like to shop. And so this is for women who do not like to shop. They get overwhelmed.
Mm-hmm.
And what we do is let the color, your colors, which you'll have your little swatch wallet that has the colors in it that you need, we let your colors draw you through the store. So you go from rack to rack based on the colors that you see. And then when we go to a rack or a shelf and see clothes that are your color, then we're going to touch them because we're going to make sure that the fabric is the fabric that you should wear. And fabric is dictated by how much or how little texture or shine you have in your hair, skin, and eyes. Mm-hmm. And there are women who have a hazel something eye. I'll say, what color is it? And they go, I don't know, hazel. I say, well, there's, you know, blue hazel, green hazel, gray hazel, brown hazel. There are a lot of different color hazel eyes, which probably means that they have more opaque skin rather than clear, shiny skin. Mm-hmm. And it also means that if they have the hazel eye and the opaque skin, they probably have more textured hair. Textured hair comes in several different ways. It's multicolored. They've always had lots of different colors naturally, not
highlighted.
Not highlighted. But naturally, they've always had a lot of different colors running through it. Or it's wavy or curly, and that will add texture. When you have hair, skin, and eye colors that has more of those aspects of texture, then the clothing material needs to have texture. So it needs to be cotton, linen. Needs to have some sort of little rib or feel to it. It's a little bit rough, not slick and shiny. So someone with that type of opaqueness would not wear a slick, shiny silk blouse.
Must be silk blouse, yes.
They wouldn't wear a silk blouse. Mm. Instead of a shiny, slick, even jewelry and accessories like watches, mm-hmm. or shoes or belts that are slick and shiny, they would wear the more natural leathers and not polished. Mm-hmm. I mean, not scuffed, but not highly polished, not slick. So the textures of their shoes and belts and purses and watch bands and briefcases would be
more matted
or matted. Yes. Natural leathers.
Someone might be asking right now, it's like, wow, this sounds like it could get expensive. But what I learned from you is that you can also go into a person's closet, mm-hmm. and help pull out what they have and build on that or mix and match things. So it doesn't necessarily have to be expensive, because maybe a woman after divorce is limited, or maybe has other expenses that she needs to be concerned about first. So maybe touch upon that as well.
The best place to shop first is in your closet. Hmm. So once we determine what kinds of clothing you should buy, what colors and what styles, then to me, the most economical thing is to go to your closet, and I shop for you in your closet. Mm-hmm. Women have a tendency to only be narrow viewed. They bought this blouse with these pants, and that's all they ever wear it with. Mm-hmm. And when I go into the closet, I can actually see that this pair of pants goes with about four other different blouses or tops or sweaters, whatever they have, mm-hmm. jackets. And depending on how women like their closet arranged, what I'll do, and I'll tell them that they can rearrange it again another way, but what I'll usually do is take that pair of pants and those three tops and put them together and hang them together. Mm-hmm. Because the challenge is, they'll say, well, I'll never remember that that goes together. And I say, well, let's hang them together right now and see and put the outfits together. And then if you want to go back and break it apart and put all the shirts here, all the pants here, all the dresses there, you can, because some people like them divided that way. But to get them started, I will put the pieces together that go together that are within the palette that we discovered, mm-hmm. when I was with them in their initial consultation. Mm-hmm. I will usually send them home with homework before I get there, to some things to do before I get there. What I want them to do is push aside in the closet the things that absolutely are not in their palette.
Okay.
They will know some things that are absolutely not in their palette. And whatever they have a doubt about, they can leave. So just push it aside. You don't have to throw it away or do anything with it, because I might want to look at it. Mm-hmm. But we'll push it aside, because I tell them, you don't need to pay me to tell you not to wear that. You already know. Mm-hmm. You already know not to wear it. So you don't need to pay me to do that. So let me look at what's left. We'll make it into outfits. And then what we're looking for are orphans. So we're looking for orphan pieces of clothing. And in the meantime, Joni, when I'm doing this, I'm also, they're saying, well, what do I wear with this? What do I wear with that? And I'll say, well, what do you have in your drawers in there? And so they'll say, well, I got, and so we're digging through the drawers, we're throwing stuff on the bed, and we're making piles on the bed. It's a wreck by the time. I'm not organizing your closet.
Yeah.
But we get stuff out on the bed, and we're laying things out and looking, and every now and then, they'll say something about this doesn't fit right or whatever. And I say, well, go over there and put it on and let me look at it. And let me see if I could tell what's wrong with it and why you like it, but you don't like it and you never wear it. You know, because we like things, but then we put them on, take them off because something's wrong.
Right.
If I can figure out the rule that is broken because and what makes that piece not look good, then once you know what doesn't make it look good and why you keep taking it off, then you don't ever have to buy something like that again. Mm-hmm. Then you know, oh, that kind of cut I can't wear.
Mm-hmm.
You don't ever even have to look at it again. So mm-hmm. there's no point in bringing home a wasted piece of clothing.
Plus, I'm hearing that it's saving me time when I do go shopping.
Yes. So actually, and this is probably, Joni, a 2-year process to get the clothes in your closet out so that you can, you know, eventually afford to buy new pieces. But what I'm really looking for, if you've got these outfits that you can wear, what I really want are the orphans. Mm. And then we're going to put the orphans on a shopping list. And from now on, when you shop, you're shopping for something to go with that orphan piece.
Mm.
So that you're completing the outfits that you have. Mm. And then I make them swear that they will never, ever again bring home an orphan.
But that to me saves me money too.
Yes, yeah. Yes. Because then you don't have orphans hanging in your closet with the price tag still on them that you've never worn because I don't have anything to wear with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we bring home an orphan, we hang it up in the closet, we forget it's there. So when we're out shopping, we're not shopping for the orphan.
No.
So I don't want you to leave the store. You cannot leave the mall. You can't leave the store until you have given that orphan a mate. You cannot bring home one piece of clothing that you don't know what it's going to go with. If you have four pairs of shorts back at the house that you know you can wear with this top, then you can buy it. But if you say to yourself, I'll buy something later to go with it, no.
It won't.
And you're going to waste the money. But if you learn to let the clothes, the clothing colors pull you through the store, then you're being real critical about what you're looking at, the necklines, the shoulders, are they set in sleeves? Are they raglan sleeves? Mm. Where does it's like 90 degrees here in Florida, so I'm already in short sleeves. And then as far as, I'm going to stand up here, but as far as where do things end, there are places for these to end. I've got pants on today instead of a skirt, but if I had a skirt on, there's about this much space around your knee that is acceptable for a skirt length. And then the place that you don't ever, 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 never, ever want a skirt to stop is at your calf. So the next length for a skirt then would be below your calf. So that would take you down to the ankle or to the floor. So that longer length. But nothing ever stops at the calf. And I don't know why they do that to women.
Especially in the capris.
Yeah. And the capris should never stop at the calf. They need to go above or below.
Mm. Yeah. So this is really good about clothing and helping us shop and look in our closet, know our colors, definitely buy for the orphans.
Yes.
How about as far as, you know, I know women when they're dating again, getting back out there and thinking, oh, how can I look maybe thinner? How can I look younger? I know you had some tips on that for either color or hair, different things, you know, that I saw in your notes. I'd like to share with that.
The hair color needs to be within your range. The older we get, the more our skin tends to fade. Mm-hmm. So if 20 years ago you could color your hair dark brown, you probably have to color it light brown now because we tend to fade. What I don't want is the hair color to walk into the room first.
Yes.
And we have seen women and men, a lot of men. And by the way, there, all of this applies to men.
Yes. And it's so hard not to be looking at the hair when it's like walked in the room first. Yes.
And the first thought is, well, she did her hair last night.
Yeah.
You know, so we want to stay within the range with the hair. The other thing about the hair is that the shape of the haircut is dictated by a couple of things: the shape of the face, mm-hmm. and the way your hair grows. I also am, when I'm looking at your physicality, your quarters, so to speak, mm-hmm. I'm also looking at the thirds in your face, and depending on the thirds from the hairline to the eye is one third. From the eye to the bottom of the nose is another third. From the nose to the chin is another third. And that will give me a lot of guidance as to, do you want to wear bangs? Mm-hmm. And then glasses. If you have a short third, this second third here, if that's short, then to look thinner and more energetic, your glasses then need to be rimless on the bottom. No rim on the bottom. And a lot of women are short in that middle third. We don't want then to make the face heavier, fatter, older by then bringing hair around onto that third of the face. Mm. What we want to do, the hair needs to go back and away from the face.
Mm-hmm.
If I had someone standing here with me that had hair like a bob, kind of a haircut, I could stand them here and I could move some sleeve length around on one side. I could fluff their hair and put their hair behind their ear, and I could stick a shoulder pad mm-hmm. in there under their t-shirt or whatever they have on, and I could make this side of them look 10 pounds lighter.
Wow.
A whole lot more energetic. And then this side would look old. And it's the most amazing thing. If I just move some things around as far as what we call visual weight, if I take the visual weight off the center part of the face and move it back, which means we need to not use stud earrings, but a drop earring. Mm-hmm. Something that drops down brings the visual weight down so that we don't have this space cluttered. So that will free, open up the eye area, which is what the whole goal of what we're doing is opening up the eye area.
Mm.
That is where we do business in our American culture, is with eye contact.
Yes.
And, you know, there might be some reasons that you would want some certain person to look other places on your body.
No.
But for the most part, we want to do business with the eyes. I don't want people looking here or here. I don't want them looking at the wrong color hair.
Yeah.
The other thing about looking thinner, younger, energetic is the sleeve length. If you have heavy hips, then you're not going to wear your sleeves all the way down.
Hmm.
Because when your arms are hanging down, that covered arm on either side of your body has just made your hips this much wider.
Yikes, never knew that.
Yeah, and that's one of those things. I can take 10 pounds off your hips real easy if I just move your sleeves.
We're all for that. Ladies, short sleeves. Whether it's winter or not up here.
We're going to roll them up. Well, when you're inside, you can do it.
Yeah, okay.
We're going to roll them up a little bit or push them up mm-hmm. And get the sleeve length so that, you know, if your shirt stops at the widest part of your hips and then your sleeves hit when your arms are down, if your arms are that length, if they're not extra long or extra short, your sleeves are likely hitting at the same place where your shirt has broken the hip line, your sleeves have broken the hip line. Now all we've done is gone, look how wide this is.
Well, what about, I see sometimes women who more heavy set in the middle and they wear a belt. Is that a good idea? I always wonder about that.
It depends. And because this is tailored to each individual, it will depend. there are some heavier women who still have a waist.
Okay.
And depending on the, I'm also looking at your scale, not the scales, but I'm looking at your scale as far as, do you have average size hands, average size features? Are you average height, average bone thickness, or are you much more smaller or much more larger? The larger you are, the larger the belt needs to be, the larger the accessories need to be, the larger the print needs to be. So if you're a large, tall, wide, big bone, and if you have any big features, hands or eyes or teeth, ears, nose, then we're going to play to that.
Hmm.
We're going to play to it.
Hmm.
And the way to play to it is put something on bigger.
Hmm. I never knew that.
If you put bigger hair, and if you put bigger belt buckles, bigger accessories, and a print that's that big, instead of a print that's that big, then she is in scale with herself. And so in that case, yeah, there's some women who are heavier, and they can put a big old belt on that's 3 inches wide with a big, huge belt buckle. Hmm. But it also, we've put the whole thing together.
Hmm.
It's not just every big woman can wear a big belt.
No. Okay, that's good.
So there could be, yes, on a big woman, I'm not going to ever put a skinny little belt.
Mm-hmm. And maybe that's what I had seen. I wasn't sure.
It makes it look better.
I know you also mentioned some things as far as color. I know we talked about color, but something about, you mentioned blonde should never wear what? And that's probably...
Oh, this will get me into trouble. This will get me into trouble. If I'm matching clothing and makeup to a person, since that's my goal, is to match you to yourself, a blonde woman or man has blonde hair, blonde eyebrows, blonde eyelashes, and has no black on them. Black doesn't match them.
Hmm.
Black is going to bring out every flaw in their face.
Really?
Every wrinkle, every bag, every sag. They'll keep, for the ladies, you'll keep going back to your makeup and putting more on. It's like, man, I need something else here. All you end up being is a talking head.
Hmm.
And watch the newscasters. Just watch the news and pay attention to what you see or don't see when you watch a blonde newscaster with black on, and the black is all the way up. You see no skin anywhere.
Hmm.
It's a talking head. Now, they have makeup. They have makeup artists. They have all sorts of people that make them look good. But for the ordinary woman standing in front of the mirror, black is going to bring out every flaw in your face. Blondes do not wear black. They don't wear black mascara. They don't wear black eyeliner. There's nothing.
In fact, it's amazing because I was just observing people walking by the other day, and someone with blonde hair walked by, and she had a black suit on. I went, oh. Who's the blonde in black? You know, so I said, it's like, getting trained here. But I wanted to take a second here because your website didn't come up on the screen. And I want to make sure that people can connect with you, or like you said, if they're coming to Orlando, find you, a great place to go and make an appointment with you and, you know, have your consultation with you. But what's the best website, Betsy, for people to reach out to you?
It would be the www.imageinsideout.com.
Okay, so imageinsideout.com. Perfect.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So as far as any of the little tips that can build the confidence or help a woman feel great about herself, or like you said, thinner, or just, you know, younger, anything else that you'd like to share before we have to go?
If I could, well, I don't know that I can say it here because I need to see you. But if you have blonde hair, blue eyes, and warm skin, and what I've just described is someone who has the color palette of Cinderella, the blonde hair, blue eyes, and the warm skin,
mm-hmm.
I would want you just to try, just buy a cheap t-shirt from Walmart or somewhere, try an aqua or a peach t-shirt,
mm.
and And what I do is try to get people just to buy a little cheap piece of something, wear it, and catch yourself in the mirror and see if it, because our eye is trained wrong. Mm-hmm. Our eye is trained to say, I've never seen you in that color before. And so our eye says, I've not seen myself in that color before, so I don't know that I like myself in that color. Mm-hmm. But what I want you to do is put it on and try it for a while. Mm. And these are extreme color palettes because I can describe them
easily.
Without,
right.
You know, see you, and they're easy to describe, but there's everything in between. If you are the Snow White, the dark hair, white skin, either a brilliant blue eye or a black brown eye, then that's the Snow White palette. Mm-hmm. And that would be the cool skin, dark hair. The probably in that palette, that is the only one that can wear black and white, but I'm not going to tell you to try that because everybody's going to try the black and white and say, oh, it'll look good. But you don't. If you've never worn like a purple or a hot pink, the hot pink should look stunning.
Mm.
Should look absolutely stunning. So a hot pink or a purple would be interesting to try on those.
I call those the jewel colors that look nice. My daughter always looks nice in those. Yes. I know one time we did mention that, you know, sometimes we are in a rush. But you mentioned two things. If you have to go out and you don't have time to put on your full face, you said lipstick was one. Always have lipstick on. And what was the other one I was thinking?
Earrings.
Pardon?
Earrings.
Okay. So earrings and lipstick, ladies. So if you're thinking, okay, just in case I go to the post office and might meet the man of my life, whatever, you know, so, you know, and we don't have time and we're rushing or you're driving your kids somewhere or something like that. As Betsy says, earrings and lipstick can at least have you look somewhat together and helps a little bit. So that's an extra little plus there. So Betsy, once again, your website?
ImageInsideOut.com.
Well, it's been a pleasure. This is a lot of great information. I would love to have people reach out to you. And also on your website, are there other tips and tools and information as well?
Information about other consultations and workshops and things.
Perfect. Perfect. And so that's really good. So thanks so much for tuning in today, Betsy, and being here and helping us look thinner, feel younger, and confident to go out on that date again.
Thank you.
And also to our listeners, tune in weekly or also whenever you can to all our archives on divorceview.com. This is Joni Winberg. It's been a pleasure to have you here today. Thanks for tuning in and see you next week.